Today we'll be in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. Colossians chapter 3, looking at verse 23. The title of today's sermon is Passion. It's time for us to get that spark back. Passion. Time to get that spark back. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. God's word says, "And whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men." Let me read that again. It says, "And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men." Let us bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, God, I just thank you for everything you've done for our families. Lord, I thank you for all the safe trips, all the people that were traveling. I thank you, God, for their safe return. Thank you, Lord, for our birthdays. God, I thank you that even though it's hard on us, we've had some loved ones today that have passed away and gone on to heaven, Lord. God, I pray for the comfort of our families. I pray for Sister Victoria's family and Brother Lewis's family, Lord. God, but we give you praise because we know they're in a better place now, Lord. God, I pray that during the service today, God, we'd have joy in our heart. We'd be thankful to be alive, God. We'd be thankful to be able to be a child of the risen King. And we'd be thankful, Lord, just to be in your presence. God, if there's somebody here that doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, I pray that today is the day they make that change in their life. Today is the day where they say, "God, I can't do it on my own. I need your help." I pray that today is the day where they accept you as their Lord and Savior, and they start traveling towards their path to heaven. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done for us. But thank you most for dying on the cross for our sins. For it's in your holy and precious name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. So today I'm going to talk about passion. I'm going to talk about passion. After all, passion is what drives the fire within inside us. It's what gets you out of bed in the morning and gets you motivated each day. I mean, that's what passion does. So what are you passionate about today? If I was to ask you, what are you passionate about? What drives you? What are you passionate about? Who wants to share? We got a lot of passionate people in here today, it looks like. Huh? Well, we got anybody that has any passion. I mean, we have some passion right there. Angela and Tommy, there's some passion. I don't know that that's the kind of passion I'm going to talk about today. But there's some passion there. Who else has passion for something? Brother Bill's got passion for his wife, Joyce, don't you, brother? You better say that confident, brother. Yes, amen. You could be in trouble. Yes, Deborah, what do you have passion for?
My family.
Your family, that's good. That's good. All your family or just parts of them?
Just a few.
Oh. Am I included in that group?
Oh,
man. Well, this is a sermon for you, sister, let me tell you. Passion is important. This famous guy, you might have heard of him before. His name is Albert Einstein. He once said that, "I have no special talents. I am only passionately curious." All this talk about passion. What is passion anyway? You know, we think about passion, but what is passion? Passion is this inner strength that drives you to do a compelling action. It's an inner strength that drives you to do something compelling. If you think about it, nothing great is ever accomplished in life without passion. Nothing great is ever sustained in life without passion. Passion is what energizes our life. Passion is what makes the impossible possible. Passion is what gives you a reason to get up out of bed in the morning and say, "I'm going to go do something with this life that God has blessed me with." But without passion, our life is boring. Our life is tiresome. We're weary. And we really just don't enjoy a lot of stuff. Our life becomes kind of dull and routine. God created us with this emotions. He created us to have passion, to be passionate creatures. And he has given you a life and blessed you with a life, and he wants you to go out and passionately enjoy that life and serve him. Amen. Passion is what causes these explorers to boldly go where no man or woman has gone before. You've seen the movies, come on. Passion is what causes scientists to stay up late at night to try to find a cure for these terrible diseases that we face. Passion is what drives a good athlete to become a great athlete so that they can break records. That's what passion is all about. You have to have passion in your life if you want to do something great. I'll tell you what, people asked me, they said, "Well, Alan, why are you going to leave living in Austin, Texas to move to some tiny little city in the middle of Kansas. Does anybody even know where Kansas is?" And I looked at all these Texans and I said, "You know what? I love the Lord and that's where he's sending me." So I passionately came and pursued God here. Jesus said,
He wants us to love him with all of our soul, our strength, our heart, and our mind. He wants us to love us with everything. So he wants us to be passionate about that. It's important to have passion.
Jesus tells us, he says, I want you to love me passionately. I like how the Message Bible puts this in Mark 11:30. It says, Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and intelligence and energy.
And then the word passion, when I looked it up in the word Greek, it means heart. So God's saying, I want you to put some muscle into it. I want you to put you got to put some energy into loving me. I want you to put some emotion in your relationship with me. Don't be a wimp about your relationship with me. I don't want any namby-pamby people. I don't want no half-hearted people. I want people that love me and want to serve me. God says, I want you to be passionate. He says, if you're going to follow me, if you're going to serve me, then you got to have some zest in your step. You got to have some pep. You got to have some spark, some zip, some enthusiasm. You got to have some passion. I've had people come up to me and say, Pastor, I don't know about this Christian life. Bunch of rules and regulations, that stuff is boring. I said, I can tell you this, that ever since I've really decided to follow Jesus every day of my life has never been boring. You have no idea what God is going to do every day. Sure, you have plans, but it's kind of like that movie, Bruce Almighty or Evan Almighty, where he's like, your plans. I mean, God, if you wake up in the morning and say, God, I don't know what's going on today. I don't know what you have going on today, but I want to be a part of it. Your life will change. You may do some crazy things that you're not normally doing because there is passion. There's great things involved. Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, do it with all of your heart as unto the Lord and not unto men. So as I ask you today, are you passionate about your relationship with Christ? I mean, do you make sure at all costs that you spend time with God every day? If we're honest, there's probably a lot of people that wouldn't be able to raise their hand to that question. I mean, if you're passionate about your relationship with God, do you want to spend time with him every day? Do you look forward to it? You're like, I don't care what bills have to be paid. I don't care if I got to get up early. I don't care what happens. I'm spending time with my Lord and Savior today. That's the kind of passion that Jesus wants us to have. But you see, we live in America, which is a great place. Land of the free, home of the brave, right? But we live in a place where it's okay to be passionate about anything except for Christ. You can be passionate about politics. You can be passionate about movies. You can be passionate about fashions and clothes. Heck, lots of us in here today are very passionate about restaurants and food. You know what I'm saying? But if you're going to be passionate about God, that's just kind of a no-no. In our culture, it's okay to be passionate about anything except your religion, your faith, and your relationship with God. Think about it this way. If you go to a rock concert, NASCAR race, basketball game, you can stand up and you can shout and cheer like, yeah, that's great. Turn around, give all these strangers high fives, you know, and people think you're the greatest fan ever. If your team wins and you jump up and down and throw popcorn everywhere, you're a hero. Or if you start crying when your team loses, most people around you understand that too. But now, how does that align with passion for God? What if you came to church one day and you stood up in church and you were shouting and saying, praise the Lord. People look around like, what's wrong with the Brother George guy who stands up during the reading of Scripture? Is that guy all right? If you stood up and said, amen, Pastor, that's what I'm going through. Somebody look at you like, somebody told them this is a church? They should shut up and sit down? You know, that's what we live in. People say, if you get up and you cheer for your Lord Jesus, if you stand up during the praise song and you're shouting words, if you're doing whatever it is that encourages you to worship the way you want to worship, people might think you're a nutcase. They must be a religious fanatic. But folks, there is nothing wrong with being passionate about God. Listen to what the Bible says in Romans 12:1. It says, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. Keep those fires going in your life. You see, notice it's not automatic to be passionate about God. Sometimes it is. God is answering prayers. He's doing great things in your life. Boy, you could be passionate, no problem. Easy to do. But there's other times in your life where you're in a valley, where you're going through a hard time, and you cry out and say, God, where are you? God, I need you. And maybe you don't hear anything. You know the scripture, God won't leave me, God won't forsake me, but somehow you just kind of feel alone. then it's hard to be passionate in that situation, isn't it? So that's where this Romans 12:1 comes in. You have to make the decision to be passionate about God. You have to make the decision to look inside and look at all these things that God has blessed me with. You know, as people, it's real easy for us to see what we don't have. It's real easy for us to see what somebody else has. Look at what they're doing. Look at what they have. I'm a good Christian. Look at all these things I've done for you, Lord. Why don't I have what they have? You're missing out on the Christian faith. That's not what it's about. It's not about materialistic things. It's not about feelings. It's about a Lord and Savior who gave his life on the cross of Calvary. And even when he was dying, he looked at those people and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." It's about a love that's so intense, that's so passionate. I don't know how you could not be excited about serving a Lord and Savior like that. You see, everything we deal with in life, though, it seems like it tries to steal our passion, you know? Have you ever been one of those guys or gals, you go to work and you're excited. You go to work and you're like, today's going to be a good day. You wake up, everything's going to be good, life is good. You go into work, and then you run into that downer guy or gal, and they're like, what are you so happy about? Did you have a great weekend or something? Well, yeah, I did blah, 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 blah. Yeah, well, I had to deal with this. Well, I'm sorry. Then you go deal with another person, and they're like a Debbie Downer too. And pretty soon, you know, they're taking, your passion is flying out the window. It's going away. It's kind of like, reminds me, we had this party for Josh, a birthday party, and we had these helium balloons, and they flew up, and they were kind of high in the ceiling, and we couldn't get them. Now, as a guy, I'm thinking, well, what can you do? How can you get these balloons down? Now, Darren, any good man would know you grab the BB gun and you shoot it down, right? Well, wife probably doesn't want BB holes in the ceiling, so thank God I didn't do that, or I might not still be married. But I thought, what do we do? And Shannon goes, don't worry, the helium will come down. They'll probably be down by the morning. And the truth is, they came down a few hours later. Why? Because all their zest, all the things that made them fly, came out of them. And they just fell down. You know, that reminds me a lot of our relationship with God. When you get first saved, you're excited. You understand that God has done all these great things for me. You can't help but tell people about it. You're like, hey, this is awesome. My sins are forgiven. People are like, great. You're like, I have a purpose for living. I got a future home in heaven. Like, okay. But you feel super excited about it. You want to tell everybody about it. But as time goes by, I don't know if it's the people we surround ourselves with. I don't know if it's if you're bored in Christianity because you're really not living for Christ. But something seems to take a little of the steam out, doesn't it? And so I want to share three things with you today that sometimes take a little steam out of our life. So if you don't have joy in your life today, if you're missing that passion that you have for Christ, God has given me a bunch of different ideas, but I'm just going to share three of them with you today. One of the biggest things that robs us from our passion is having an unbalanced life. You either work too much or you rest too much. One of the two. You see, life is a series of seasons. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, you can look it up, but it goes on and on. It starts out, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted. And the scripture goes on and on, and it continues talking about life. There's times for different things in life. But what you need in your life is you need both work and you need rest. You need input and you need output. That's just how life goes. If you have too much rest, then you lose your passion. You become bored and lazy. If you work too much, then you lose your passion because you're kind of burned out. So if I was to look at our whole church today, I'd guess there's a split in here. There's some people that work too much. And there's some people that just don't do enough. And so between the two, some of us have lost our passion. So first I want to talk to those people that work too much. Psalm 127 verse 2 says, it's not very funny, Shannon. Psalm 127 verse 2 says, it is senseless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, fearing that you're going to starve to death, for God wants his loved ones to get their proper rest. Yeah, see, this sermon is for me. That's a good verse for my refrigerator door. I think I'm going to put that on there. God wants us to have proper rest. For some of us, you're losing some of your passion. And the reason you're losing some of your passion, because you're always giving out. And maybe you're here today in our church and you have that problem. You used to be so passionate, but you've just given, given, give, and now your cup is empty. You got nothing else to give. You're always helping. You're always sharing. You're always serving. You're always working. You're always being generous, but you don't take any time to recharge for yourself. If you never have any time to recharge for yourself, you're going to have this unbalanced life. And what's going to happen is you're eventually going to get this thing called compassion fatigue. You're going to get worn out. And so I call this thing compassion fatigue. And what this is when you just stop caring. You don't care about anybody. You don't care about your family, the people calling you on your cell phone. You don't care about work. You don't care about nothing. You look at that job and you're in your car and you're like, what would happen if I just decided to keep on driving today? Because I don't care anymore. You get on the phone with your husband or your wife and you're arguing on their way home and you're like, I don't need them anyway. I'm out of here. You know, that's what happens when you work too much. When you have too much serving, too much caring, too much of everything, you get burned out and then you get this situation where you don't care about nothing. Folks, we don't want to get to that point in time. Maybe you're already like, Pastor, I'm here. Hello. Save me. That's Jesus' job. I can't do it for you. But now there's other heres that are kind of the exact opposite. They're always taking, but never giving out. They just take and take and take and take like suckerfish. And they don't give out. Think about it this way, in a biblical way. You're taking all this information in. So say you're going to Bible studies. You're listening to teachers on the radio, maybe teachers on TV. You're going to Christian concerts. You're at church all the time. You're always learning. You're always taking in. You're always growing in the input. But you're not giving anything out that you've learned. So you're learning all these things about Christ, but you're not doing anything with them. And so what happens is you're getting spiritually fat. Because you're not getting rid of any of this. You're taking in all this information, but you're not helping your family. You're not helping your church. You're not helping your community. You're just taking it all in. Maybe that's why they call us holy rollers, because you get so big from not doing anything, they got to roll you down the street. You're so spiritually fat. Well, there's nothing wrong with being spiritually fat, but you got to do something with that. You can't just sit on all that knowledge. God has created us as his creatures to be able to share with others, to be able to use what we've learned to bless one another, right? So I don't know which one you are today, but I know that if you're working too hard or you're not working enough, that surely is a good way to lose your passion. So maybe today you're asking yourself the question, how come I don't feel as close to God as I used to be? The reason could be simply, your life is just out of balance right now. And you got to figure out how to get it back into balance to get your joy back. The second reason we might be losing our passion today is we have an unused talent. We've got a lot of talented people. Now, you know, you may think of talents like tying cherry stems in knots with your tongue or unwrapping Starburst wrappers. That's not too impressive. Well, I thought the same thing too until I tried it. That takes a very talented person. I can't do it. I sucked on a Starburst for about 15 minutes till that thing was all soggy and everything. Still couldn't get the wrapper out of my mouth. I can't even break a sunflower seed open in my mouth to share the shells on one side and the seed on the other. I can't do that. So you know what I do? What any good person would do. I eat the whole thing. We were at a baseball game. I was eating these sunflower seeds. Shannon looks at me. She goes, "Where are your seeds?" I said, "In my stomach. Where do you think they are?" She said, "But I mean, where are your shells?" "They're in my stomach too." "What do you think you are, a hamster?" So if I ever get that colonitis or whatever, I guess we'll know why. But anyway, the deal is we have these talents, and if we're not using our talents for God, what are we doing with them? Like, you know the story of the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25. You see, God gives us these gifts. 1 Peter 4:10 says, "Each of you have been blessed with one of God's many wonderful gifts to be used in the service of others. So, use your gifts well." God gives us all certain talents and abilities and gifts and personalities. And we're not supposed to hold them for ourselves. We're supposed to use them for others. So maybe you got an unused talent. Maybe there's some talent that you have that you just haven't been using. And so that's kind of why you lost your joy. How many people are in here in a job that they don't enjoy? I mean, I'm not raising,
This is a weird thing. Raise your hand, but I'm standing here. No, I mean, you're in a job you don't enjoy, right? And so a reason you're in a job you don't enjoy is probably because it's not using all the talents that God gave you. Now, I want you to hear me out that any job you have in life is not going to use 100% of the talents and gifts that God gave you. So what I guess I'm saying is, I don't mean to pop your bubble, but you're never going to be 100% satisfied in any job. And do you know why? Because God didn't create you to be satisfied in your job. Your job is to make money. God didn't give you all these gifts and talents and say, don't use those gifts and talents, just go make money. That's not what God's plan was. God gave you all these gifts and talents to be able to serve Him. So I'd say if you're 70% happy in your job, then you're doing great. But what do you do with the other 30%? God says the only way you can be 100% satisfied is when you're working for me. God has a ministry for every single person. I believe that in my heart. And that's where your complete fulfillment comes from. God says, I love you and I want you to serve me. 1 Corinthians 7 says, each one should live his life with the gifts that the Lord has given him. God gave you gifts and abilities and talents to use. Now, the reason you're not going to find that 100% satisfaction is because you need a ministry. You say, well, God didn't call me to be a pastor. That's your job, buddy. And you're not doing a very good job, convicting me. I hate that people laugh at that. That's messed up, you know. But serious, though. So God wants you to do a ministry. You say, well, I'm just a regular person. What kind of ministry can I do? Well, God wants you to do a ministry in your community or a ministry at our church, a ministry somewhere. What can you do in the community? They always need help in a couple of the places. Abundant Harvest always needs help. Wheels on Meals, delivering that stuff, people always need help. Amen. Helping at the senior center, teaching a Bible study at Men or Women's Missions, or visiting people in nursing homes. Those are things that always need to be done. You don't have to be anybody special to do that stuff. That's just a way you can serve and have ministry in your life. That will help you feel fulfilled. Here in the church, there's always a need for people to help in the church. There's always a need for someone to clean the church, for people to teach children's church, to help with fundraising ideas for our new building, to help mentor other believers, to put together different ideas of recreation stuff we might want to do for the church, to go out and witness to the people you know. There's always things that you can do. But I guess I'm gonna step on a few toes right here because I'm your pastor and I love you. I want to tell you, if you're in a job right now that's killing your passion, that is stealing your passion from you, you're not using the gifts and talents that God's gave you, and it's stealing your passion from you, it's time for you to look for a new job. God didn't give you the gifts and talents you have to waste them. He gave you the gifts and the talents you have to use them for His glory and for His kingdom. We're blessed to live in the United States of America. No one's holding a gun to your head and making you do the job you do right now. There are lots of different jobs in America. Now, there's some you might not want to do. And there are some you might be doing right now that you might not want to do. But there are other ones that are available. So don't lose hope. Look for a job where you can use your gifts and your talents. Stop thinking about how much money you need to make for just a minute. And think about, what am I good at? What did God bless me with? What are the things that make me excited to get up in the morning? Write those down. Find a job that meets those criteria. God always takes care of the money problem. You got to use your gifts and talents. I got to use my gifts and talents to be able to glorify God. That's how we get that spark back. That's how we turn that little spark and we turn it into a bonfire. Now, there's a third reason I'm going to share with you before we close today. The third reason you might have lost your passion for life. You might have lost your passion for the Lord. The joy might be stolen out of your heart. And this is a big one. This is because you have unconfessed sin in your life. Few things rob you of your joy. Rob you of your confidence. Rob you of your passion. More quickly than guilt. Have you been there, folks? Can I get an amen? You ever done something wrong and you felt guilty about it? Amen. I could tell you there's times I've done things wrong. Shannon will really give amen to that. And I'll tell you, nobody had to say a word to me, George. I just opened up the door of the church. And I came right to the altar.
few things will steal your joy and your passion, like having unconfessed sin in your life. The good news about this is that it can be fixed easily. You see, I think normally we don't walk around feeling like guilty people. Normally, I think most of us, we walk around and we say, well, I'm a good person. I serve the community. I go to church. I support my family. I'm a good person. And you are a good person. Everybody's a good person. You love the Lord, you wouldn't be here. You made a sacrifice today to come to church. You're great people. But sometimes what we do is there's something we want to do that's not right, and we rationalize it. You know? We say, well, this isn't the right thing to do, but everybody else is doing it, so it'll be okay. The problem is if you're a Christian, it doesn't end up being okay. Because you go home at night and it gets quiet, and then you have like the Tom and Jerry scenario where the angel's on one side and the devil's on the other side, and you're feeling guilty. And guilt can steal. It can rob your joy. Here's the truth is, human beings, you can't feel passion and power and enthusiasm and guilt at the same time. You can't do both. They're totally opposite on the spectrum. You can't be super excited and super happy and also super depressed and life is miserable at the same point in time. Psalm 38, 4 and 6 says, my guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. I am bowed down and I am brought low. As most of you know, I work for a computer company in the mornings. Anybody use computers, tablets, laptops, smartphones? Ron, huh? Yeah. Yeah, we use those things. You know, computers in general, they're pretty decent. But when they break, it's miserable. You've seen the videos on YouTube, the guy with the keyboard, slamming it on the desk, kicking his monitor off. I mean, have you ever felt like doing that? Yeah, of course you have. Some of us have a little more self-control than others. Some may throw their mice across the room. I don't know. But if you're working in a computer job, now I'm going to contrast this to guilt in a minute, so hang on with me here. But if you're doing computer stuff and your computer crashes, it's never at a convenient time, is it? No. Does anybody have Windows 10? Oh, Windows 10 decides it's going to update and reboot whenever it feels like it, doesn't it? You could be in the middle of typing stuff and it's like, boo, restarting. Like, applying updates. You idiot, I didn't tell you to do that. What happens to your document? You come back up and it saved it a half an hour ago. Lucky that 30 minutes of work you did is all gone. Thank you very much. Computer crashes are miserable. But you know what? Sometimes I think in our life we deal with that same kind of system crash. That crash that just takes everything, the wind out of our sails, takes us from being up here to being down here. It can be an event that happened in our life. It could be anything. But everything just crashes in our system. Guilt is one of those things that can bring your whole system down. The truth of the matter is that if joy in your life has crashed and you're trying to keep your enthusiasm up, you're trying to be passionate, you're trying to do great things, but this guilt just keeps crashing your system until you deal with it. That's what unconfessed sin does to you. You'll think you're doing good for a while, but then all of a sudden, and then you fall back down. If you're a Christian today, you got to get that unconfessed sin out. You're not going to be able to have true joy or true passion if you're dealing with something still. Thankfully, it can all be fixed quickly. 1 John 1:9 tells us how we can deal with it. It says, if we confess our sins, God can be trusted to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's His promise. To confess just means you agree with God. It's nothing more. You just say, God, I agree with you. What I'm doing right now, it's a sin. What I did wrong was wrong. I agree with you. And I want to begin to live the kind of way you want me to be able to live, Lord. Would you free me from this guilt? If you're thinking about that as I'm talking today, I encourage you, don't wait any longer. Get that stuff out of your life. If you need to forgive somebody, forgive them. If there's a sin in your life that's controlling you, if there's an addiction in your life, if there's a problem, if there is mercy that you haven't been granted, whatever that is, grace that you haven't been given, it is time to forgive them. The Bible says in Matthew and Mark, forgive. If we don't forgive people, God won't forgive us. Folks, Whatever unconfessed sin you got in your life, that's stealing your joy. You got to get rid of that stuff. You got to lay it down at the altar. Don't carry it anymore. One more thought and I close. Church, there are many things that can happen that can rob us of our passion and our joy. As obnoxious as I preach and as obnoxious as I am, there are times too when I'm down. But I make the decision every day to follow my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for what he did for me when he died on that cross of his sins. I'm thankful for what Jesus did. He took all my sins and he died for them so that I can live. And that's not something to be sad about. That's something to have joy and passion about. And so today, if your joy, if your passion is gone, ask yourself these questions. Do I have an unbalanced life? Am I working too much or am I working too little? Do I have an unused talent? Has God blessed me with something that I'm just not using for his glory? And third, do I have some unconfessed sin in my life that is starting to steal my passion? Folks, God has blessed us abundantly with love, mercy, and grace. He's blessed us with gifts and talents and abilities. He's blessed us with food and clothes to wear, a roof over our head. He's blessed us with ways to support our families and take care of one another. There should be no doubt in our mind how much God loves us. That's not the question for today. The question is, where's our passion? Do we have enough passion to create a spark that will turn into a fire that will change your family, that will change the city of Emporia, that will change the state of Kansas? That's the spark that we need to relight. Colossians 3:23 says it like this: whatever you do, do it with all your heart as unto the Lord and not unto men. Are you a passionate person today, or have you lost your passion? If you lost your passion, or if maybe you're just in a very strange situation, why don't you come down to the altars today and spend some time with the Lord? God wants to restore you. He wants to help you. He is your biggest cheerleader, your greatest fan. He wants to help fix and restore your unbalanced life. He wants to use those gifts and talents that he's given you for his glory. And he's ready to forgive you of any unconfessed sin you have today if you just come and share it with Jesus. At this time, we're going to have our verse of invitation. If everyone would please stand and bow your heads. Dear Lord in heaven, God, I just come before you today, Lord. God, not one of us is perfect. Every one of us has troubles and struggles. Sometimes, God, we struggle with passion. Sometimes we struggle with faith. Sometimes we struggle with sin, unbalanced lives, unused talents, all kinds of things. God, I don't want to go through a day of life, not even one day of life, being bored, being unhappy, being felt like, why am I even here? God, you created us with a plan for us. That's what it says in Jeremiah chapter 29. You created us. You have a plan and a purpose for our lives. Lord, if we don't know what that plan or purpose is, God, I pray that you'd start working on our hearts and start to reveal that to us, God. Lord, help us to have our passion back for you, Lord. When your word says to love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, that doesn't mean that we should just think about you every once in a while. It means you should be on the forethought of our mind all the time. Lord, if there's someone here that doesn't have joy in their life anymore, I pray that you'd take steps to start restoring that. If there's someone here today, God, that doesn't have passion for anything in life anymore, they're just tired and worn out and want to give up, I pray, God, that you'd restore them gently, Lord. If there's somebody here that's dealing with an addiction, a sin, a struggle, maybe it's not something bad, maybe it's something God has placed on their heart, God, but they just haven't done it yet. Maybe it's a sin of omission. Maybe it's just God has put this thing on your heart, but you're too scared to step out of the boat and do it. God, I pray that you would help that person today. Lord, you're an amazing God. You hear all of our prayers at the same time. You know all of our needs. You knew us before we were knit together in our mother's womb. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing for us today, God. As Christians, come and pray, Lord. I pray, God, that you would help us to restore our passion in you. For it's in your holy and precious name we pray, Lord. Amen.